The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started. Today is Sunday, June 12th, 2011, if you're listening live, and obviously not if you're listening to the recording. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am very excited today to have a good friend of mine of a very long term joining us as a guest. Marilyn Harper is a very, very powerful channel and healer. She is one of the most fun people I know. She is an entertainer by nature, I think. I think that's part of your soul, Marilyn.
I think so, too.
And I am delighted to have her joining us today to help share some things that will help you on your path, we think, and to also talk about an event that she is creating, bringing together this fall. I mentioned it last week and mentioned it with BJ a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to talk a little bit about that toward the end. Now, before I get in here with Marilyn, we'll do what we always do to start the show, which is ask each of us, each one of you, to take a few deep breaths, and as you do so, connect out to the community. Connect out to the community of those who are co-creating the show with us, the other listeners out there. And connect down into Mother Earth. Get a feel for her presence and her support. That's always there. And connect to the guides, the angels, the teachers, the other beings who are here multidimensionally to support each one of us on our path. And connect to all the other light workers, all the other beings who are walking a path of conscious awakening at this point in time. The more we can feel their presence, the easier it becomes to move forward on our own path. Feels pretty good to me. So let's get going. Welcome, welcome, Marilyn. How are you today?
You know, I am absolutely fabulous. I'm just facilitating a retreat in Crestone, Colorado. This is our final day, and everybody's having lunch now, so this is the perfect time.
So you can be munching while we're talking?
I've munched on the phone with you before, John.
You have. Very good. So what I like to do to begin the shows when I have guests on with me is to have you share a little bit about where you were before you stepped onto your path, and then we'll come to how you stepped onto your path, what you did to expose yourself, how you got over those hurdles. So whatever you'd like to share, I'd love to hear, and I'm sure the listeners would as well.
Well, before I exposed myself, as you say, I was getting my master's in theater, and I did not get a job teaching. Instead, I got a job selling advertising for a country western radio station.
A little sidetrack, but not.
The universe had another idea in mind for me. But in selling advertising for a country western radio station, I could you know, kind of be anybody I needed to be to sell the ads, sell air, as it were. And I didn't really get into country music very much, but it was fun selling advertising. In 93, after complications following a surgery, I had a soul transformation. I had a walk-in, some might call it. I experienced going into the hospital for complications as one person and came out another. And it was, I had no idea what had happened. I had no idea. I just knew that everything in my life changed, and I didn't understand what was going on. I could no longer perform the way I had performed before. I could no longer perform the plays unless they had a through line or a subject or a higher message. I could no longer do the same things that I could do before on any level. I couldn't do the cross stitch or design costumes or anything that I had done before. And
if I remember correctly, and for those who don't know, Marilyn and I know each other from before this time.
Yeah.
You also couldn't wear the clothes in your closet anymore, right?
I couldn't. That was the first indication. The walkout before this had happened, I could go for 2 weeks and never wear any colors other than red or black. And when I opened my closet, that was the first indication that something was awry. I couldn't wear red nor black. And I just physically could not do it. And I went to the store and bought a pastel pink, something I have never worn, and a pastel green, something I have never worn in my entire life until that moment. If there were big honking earrings that would dangle on my shoulder, I would be the one wearing them, and I suddenly could not wear anything that did that. I couldn't wear anything that jangled around my head. I couldn't wear red. In fact, it's only been in recent years that I have been able to wear black some, and I still don't wear red. It was a major shift, and I had no concept or no idea that anything had transpired. I just knew that I was ready to hear the voice of Source, and they better be pretty loud, because I thought I was losing my mind. I thought that I was really, you know, losing it. I didn't know. For 3 years, this went on. The walkout used to design costumes professionally for a time, and I tried to make a blouse, and it was, I couldn't even figure out how to lay the pattern out. My walkout taught English and was a very proficient writer, and I still had to write my thesis for my master's degree, and I couldn't write in English any longer. I couldn't. The language was not there. I wrote as though English were my second language. So it was a little alarming at that time to know what had happened or how it had happened. And it was pretty scary sometimes to think that, wonder if I was losing my mind completely. But I just had to be with it and had to trust that things would move forward in somehow something would come to light, and it certainly did eventually in 96, or actually December of 95. I had the awakening of what had happened, mm-hmm. which was very interesting how that turned about.
Well, tell that story then, if you're willing.
I didn't know. My mother came to me before our Thanksgiving dinner and held this book out to me, and there was like 70 people at our Thanksgiving dinner, and it was like 10 minutes before we sat down for lunch, and said, "Have you read this book, Strangers Among Us, by Ruth Montgomery?" And I said, "No, I haven't. Could I borrow it?" And she said, "No, you never return books." And kept it, which is true. And then a few days later, a friend of mine, Bill, Big Bill, he's asked me the same question. "Have you read this book by Ruth Montgomery, Strangers Among Us?" And I'm like, "No, that's so weird. My mom just said the same thing." And the universe arranged for John and I, you, John, to get back together. prior to that. And we had had some differences when we were graduate students together. And all of a sudden, we were like the best of friends. I mean, we would go to lunch and have 3 hours later still be talking. And the universe arranged for us to drive to Milwaukee, which was 12 hours away. And John said, "Hey, you know, there's a book that you ought to read, Strangers Among Us by Ruth Montgomery." And I'm like, "What is it with this book?" And thank God John knew what the book was and had read it and said it's about walk-ins and proceeded to tell me about walk-ins. And I was like, "Oh, my goodness, that has to be what had happened." And I was so shocked over it. I was like, "Oh, my goodness." To think that I didn't even know that was possible, that the energy, the being that was in this form had made an agreement at some point to leave, and another being would come in to take their place using the same form, the same body. So, of course, I had to eventually go back to my mother at Christmas time and say, "Mother, did you know that book, Strangers Among Us, you told me to read?" And my mother said, "I've never read that book by Ruth Montgomery." And I said, "Yes, you have. You've got it in your bookshelf. You handed it to me. You wouldn't let me borrow it, but you handed it to me." And we looked all through her bookshelves, and it was not there. I went back to Bill and asked the same question, you know, that book, Strangers Among Us. And he said, "You know, I've never read any of Ruth Montgomery's books." And so that was the universe's way to bring me the information.
Yeah.
And thanks to John, John did say the book. And we've kind of been best friends ever since.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So from there.
I knew somehow that I had new talents, new skills, new energies, new insights that I had no idea what to do with or how to tap into them. But I knew intuitively that I was a full cup of water and I needed to empty some stuff out. So I actually, the first thing that I did was I had an energy clearing session every week for a year with you, John. And then like every 2 weeks for 6 months and then once a month and that brought me, I mean, I think the first or second time I saw visions of who I had been over many lifetimes and where I was going. And it was very profound because, you know, see, when your cells are already full, you know, I think you get the opportunity to integrate or release or bring forth those things or those contracts that no longer serve your highest joy. So I spent the next year really clearing, releasing, transforming, and becoming who I am now. I did automatic writing. I went to my first walk-in conference in 96 with John and another friend of ours, Brenda McCoy Lappin, who was also my first walk-in other than John to meet, and it was pretty exciting. I learned at that conference about automatic writing through B.J. King. And automatic writing is where you basically go through a meditation, get out of the way, and allow your guides to come in and speak. And it is like taking dictation. And so they then provided me every day for a year an instruction booklet almost of what had happened, how it happened, what my place is here, where I am going, what I am doing, and how to go about doing it. And that was very, very profound. And I did that. I continued with my own clearing work and had a few readings from people. And one of those readings was from B.J. King, which your listeners have met. And she said, "Well, you really need to be on this side of the table instead of that side of the table." And she said that I had the capability to do oversoul-to-oversoul communication. And I got attuned to Reiki in the process, and I think Reiki really opened up some channels within me, some avenues to receive the information a little more clearly. Then I started practicing oversoul-to-oversoul communication on my friends. I'm sure you've expressed what that is to your audience, John.
Well, not directly, not by defining it that way. So well, you can talk about it more if you want.
Everybody has an oversoul, and that is an overlighting energy. Some could call it the higher self. Some could call it the guidance system. To me, the oversoul is where those items reside, and the oversoul is the larger portion of that. And I somehow had the capability to communicate directly with an individual's oversoul and then kind of translate that and interpret that for them, for their own highest good. And the information that came through was, even though many times it was in metaphor, I had to trust it because I learned to listen during my automatic writing. I learned how to hear that information, how to anchor that information in. And when I connected to another individual and their oversoul, I would see pictures or see things about their history or about someone that they knew, and then communicated that with them. And many times, somebody asked me about their mother, and I told them that I saw dark blood. I did not know what dark blood was. I did not know what that meant, but I told them that they needed to go to a regular doctor, and he would give them, because she was troubled with fatigue and sickness and you know, a weak stomach and things like that. And, you know, all I saw was dark blood, and told her that she needed to see a naturopath, and they would give her roots and berries or something to clean their blood. And she did, and she found out at the eventually, within the next few months, that she had an allergic reaction to formaldehyde, and she worked in a furniture store. So after that, I thought, well, maybe I do need to do this.
know, maybe there is something to this.
Maybe so, yeah. So I continued to practice, and eventually, when I became a Reiki master, that led me to the visions and the connection. When I was working on somebody on the table, I heard the voice of Serapis Bey, who was not a part of my regular guidance system, and he identified himself as one of the Ascended Masters, and at that time I didn't even know what an Ascended Master was, hardly, and he asked to speak directly to the person on the table and use me as a channel, and I was frightened by that, because I didn't know how to do that. And not knowing that a part of the oversoul-to-oversoul communication was actually that channeling. And anyway, through the trusting of Serapis Bey and his love that I felt, I allowed him to speak through me to the person that I was working on the Reiki table. And that was really the first experience that I had in that capacity, and he brought in information that I could never have gotten to, and it was quite profound for me.
And I'm sure it was. I know.
Yeah, you remember you were there. You were not in the room, but whenever I had any John, what do I do about this? You know, that kind of breathe first. Now, John made signs for me, breathe. Now I make signs for other people, breathe.
It's a great thing to pass on.
It is. You know, I spent the next year, I was still selling advertising for the Country Western radio station, but I spent the next year really being not completely present in my body. Now, I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know a person could be walking around and not be present. And I was driving 100 to 150 miles a day, and sometimes I would, you know, wake up while I was driving and have no earthly idea where I was. And, you know, if any of your listeners are having that experience, they need to get some, talk to somebody about that, because that's not very healthy. It's not a sound thing to do.
But it's not there a might safe thing to do, that's for sure.
Yeah, and there may be something more going on.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, after 5 speeding tickets and 3 car wrecks, I wasn't hurt in any of the car wrecks terribly. I came out of them all right, but I had a new friend. The universe arranged for a person to come to me and say, you know, you're not present in your body, and if you're not there, who's there? And that was the first time Adaranda spoke, who is mm-hmm. the spokes being now for the company or council that we channel.
Right.
And so that was the beginning, and Adaranda is from the 17th dimension and is multidimensional and can and speaks for a council normally of 12, although those we've found are the regulars. we connect directly to the guidance system of those we are communicating with and provide them with information, healing, energy work. And I don't consider us a psychic or anything, but we certainly can see into the past and the future. We work in the Akashic Records. I'm sure your listeners know what they are. If not, they are the record keepers of every thought, idea, deed, experience, event in the existence of your soul. And we see what that is that gets the opportunity to integrate for your highest good or highest joy. And through that process, we become our own authentic being, and we help people do the same in our retreats and seminars and things. So does that kind of that's the Reader's Digest condensed version. The book is yet to come.
Wonderful. If you're willing, there's one more thing I would have you touch in on.
Certainly.
Which is, I know so many people who step into doing some sort of spiritual work or healing work, and it's this all-encompassing or very strong desire that they have, but they have a day job that gets in the way. And I know there was a bit of that for you before you were able to transition into this being your full focus. So I don't know if you would like to touch in or could touch in on some of what you did to be able to make that transition.
Well, you know, that, and anybody who, I mean, we all have spiritual gifts. You know, I firmly believe that, and I teach, and I know you do as well, John, and many of the
Absolutely.
People that you have on your program, that we teach others to experience their spiritual gifts to the highest degree possible.
Absolutely.
And within that experience, many times, we know that we have talents that we have the strong desire to share, and we must share them. They are the masters within that we are communicating with, and that your task is to find that master and to be able to express those masters always and completely. And yes, in 98, when I started doing oversoul to oversoul communication while I was still working at the radio station, I wanted to go full time, but I was afraid to go full time to do my own work. And then when I started channeling and doing healing, I mean, I would do sessions at night and on weekends, and during the day I'd be this regular person, and I use that in quotation marks.
I don't know that you've ever been regular since I've known you.
Maybe not. But it was like leading a duality of life.
Right.
You know, heaven forbid anyone would ever find out what I did at night in fear of their judgment. Well, that really throws your soul out of integrity. And so I built my side business enough to where in 2000 I felt that I was led to, and my side business, my channeling business and my healing business, the income was the same as my radio station income. So I quit the radio station to go full time. And yet I was totally and completely unprepared to do that and had no idea what that meant and had no idea that it would throw me into almost a crisis. I mean, you know, I was making a few thousand dollars a month doing my own work 1 month, and the month that I left the radio station, I had nearly nothing. And that was my own antithesis and my own feeling of unworthiness, of is this good enough or is this not good enough? And you know, you go through the old, if you're wanting to do this work full time and you still have skeletons in your closet, you better get rid of them, because they'll just slow the process down. They'll show up, absolutely. As a master, sometimes they show up in public places. And so I spent the next 2 years working, and yet I found that my clients would become my friends, and I would spend many hours a day talking and consulting with my friends, and therefore I had no time or energy to do sessions.
Right.
I would do I would go to a retreat in 99. That was the first year I came and did this retreat in Crestone, which was fabulous and wonderful and epiphany. I don't even know if there's a word, epiphanical, I don't know, a big changes, big changes for everybody involved. And yet when I came home, I was exhausted for a month. I couldn't really do any work because I felt I had to do it all myself. And so, you know, for the next 2 years, it was an up and down kind of thing. And I realized that I was not prepared psychologically, emotionally, physically, or mentally to do this work full time. So I went back and took a day job, and I thought it was just going to be for a small amount of time. In fact, I eventually became an entertainer at an amusement park in Branson, Missouri. And I was very much fun. There was nothing that was used the mind. There was nothing metaphysical about it at all, except when people would take a picture of me as the entertainer, my whole crown would show up white in the pictures, which was interesting.
And, which is a little lighter than your hair color.
Right, right. And and I said to myself, this is so much fun. I could do this the rest of my life. And within 30 seconds, I broke my foot. And so the universe was letting me know that I was not going to do this the rest of my life. And I actually said that statement twice that summer, about 8 weeks apart. That first time, and then after my foot came out of the cast, I went back to being an entertainer in an amusement park, and I said, I love this. This is so easy. I could do this the rest of my life. And I broke my foot again. Same foot, same place. And so that time I got the opportunity to sit for 8 months and leave my foot in the air and really look and analyze what it was that I was doing and where I was going and what my talents were and what my skills were. And was challenged by some of the religious organizations. And so I got the opportunity to state and say, you know, if there is anything that comes through me that is not from light, that is not from source, then take all talents and skills away. And I was very fortunate that they were all still there and actually became more magnified after I made that request. And I guess it was 2004, 2005, I realized that things were beginning to shift again. I felt that I was being prepared again for something that felt a little bit like the walk-out, walk-in situation. And I knew enough then not to be afraid of it. I knew enough Yeah, I knew enough not to step back from it, but to be present and to breathe through it and go back to the basics and go to my own spiritual practice of meditation, of writing. I've always been a journaler, but I'm going back to the automatic writing and truly moving through my own fear. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a store in, I guess, 2006, 2007, and I was buying a black dress. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what is that? I hadn't bought black anything in, you know, since 1993. And I felt this upsurgence of energy. And I believe that the walkout actually went for retraining and began to merge then with the walk-in. And Adironda and the council were all a part of that connection because the walkout was a performer. She could hold the space of the energy of 1,000 people. And the walk-in was not a mm-hmm. performer. They could not. We could not. We were really kind of shy a little bit when it comes to being in front of a lot of people. So I believe, and I've never really heard of that happening. So as we were moving together through the process, a year, January 1st, I asked for help from the universe, and they sent me a marketing person from L.A. And that was when I realized that I didn't really have to do it all myself. I don't have to be the Lone Ranger. I don't have to save anybody. All I have to do is be who I am, and shift happens around me. And in going full time now, back into that again, after working in the tourist industry in Branson, Missouri, as a hotel group salesperson for 6 years, after I couldn't stand on my foot that long to be an entertainer, and I wasn't an entertainer anyway, it was a big leap. And yet, if you have the fortitude and the courage and the marketing, I encourage you to live your truth. But I also caution you to know that this way of life is not for the faint of heart.
It's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone, absolutely. And just because you have this burning desire to help, this burning desire to make a difference, you make a difference wherever you are. You know, each person, no matter what their gifts are, I personally believe that no matter what your gifts, talents, or skills are, that there's a way that the universe will pay you for that and will afford you a living with those talents and skills. But it may be in what might be construed as a regular job and touching people's lives there and allowing them to learn how to be authentic with your own presence there. I mean, does that make sense to you? I know you believe the same way, John.
It's a tremendous gift, and I think far too many people who come to me are looking for a way out of that. And when I or who I'm channeling or something else that they come in contact with allows them to bring the intention to bring their divinity into what they're doing, whatever it is.
Right.
It has a potential to make a tremendous shift, both in how they experience it in the real world, so to speak, and in how other people experience them.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that's a really powerful, powerful piece for people.
You know, and the thing is your show, you know, Exposing the Masters Within, I mean, that's the key. I do Healing from the Inside Out, which is a retreat that I do that is the same thing, that is finding the truth, finding that center, and then building upon that, and you can do anything for your livelihood.
Right.
And continue to do that.
Absolutely. So Actually, that seems like a perfect segue to Walk-In's Welcome.
Walk-In's Welcome. Yes, that's. I've been getting the messages for the past year that we're to revive or bring back the walk-in conference. I mean, we had several walk-in conferences. We attended several walk-in conferences in the 90s all over the country and brought in people from all over the country. John and I were not in charge, of course, but we were speakers at the conference. I'll never
forget. We had a lot of fun, too.
We had a lot of fun. The founder of the Walk-Ins International passed away in 2000 or 2001, I think. And
yep.
the organization kind of disintegrated after that. And I when I started getting the information that we should gather walk-ins together again, and I was like, oh, please, you know, can't somebody else do that? I'm a little stubborn sometimes. But it just kept coming back. And many times walk-ins will get a bad rap. You know, there's a lot of dark energy out about walk-ins right now. There's a lot of, you know, you have to feel like you wanted to commit suicide if you're a walk-in. Well, that's not true. Not true at all. You have to have a major, you know, big brouhaha, and that's not true. You connect to different. There's a lot of walk-ins that still get the opportunity to wake up to the light, and walk-ins are here to help with the shift of this planet. Almost all light workers are here to help with the shift of this planet, and or if not all light workers are here to help with the shift of this planet, galactic beings are present as well. The walk-ins welcome, we named it that because I don't know any walk-in that doesn't pass by a beauty shop or a doctor's office and giggle a little bit when they see the sign walk-ins welcome.
And it's encouraging.
It is encouraging. And so for the conference, which is October 7th through the 9th of 2011 in Phoenix, Arizona, it is to bring the lighter side of our task present, and to let, even though you know a walk-in, or you may be a walk-in, or you may be married to a walk-in, or you may be a relative of a walk-in, the conference is for family and friends as well, because they experience a transformation just as much as the walk-in does. And so it is to help with, you know, kind of a subtitle of the walk-in's welcome would be, okay, you're here. What now? What's next? What do we do? We've got several speakers coming in. John, you being one of them, BJ King, Leander Murray, Carrie Chapman. I've got a group, Soul Tones, out of California, that are going to provide musical interlude with singing bowls, crystal bowls, gongs, and powerful shifting music. We'll have, you know, speakers from all walks of life. We'll have a panel of family and friends of walk-ins to, you know, help with that perspective. We have a panel of people that about loving on purpose and living on purpose that are doing a presentation. Matt Walters, who we went to graduate school with, John. I found him, or he found me, and he's going to be at the conference. I don't know if you remember Matt Walters, but
I'll know him when I see him.
Yeah, you will. You know, it's about bringing people together. Aside from just being a walk-in, the galactics that are here as well, that maybe came in with their birth but are here, they get the opportunity to help with the shift of the planet as well. And that's truly what the conference is about. It's a gathering of like-minded people, a gathering of like-minded souls for the purpose of focusing our direction and moving forward for the health and well-being of the people on this planet and others.
Wonderful. Now, I would also... And correct me if I'm wrong, I would say that even if someone isn't sure if they're a walk-in, although you can contact Marilyn or I and we can let you know, or a galactic, if you feel excited as we're talking about this, then you might want to look into it further. And if you are in, I like your term that you have up on the website, soul transformation. If you're in some transformation that is moving you powerfully more into connection with your soul, with divinity, with a spiritual path, this could be something that would serve you. So,
yes, it's fascinating because whether you are a walk-in or not, we find if you're drawn to the term, there's something there for you. The soul transformation, the galactic energy, the walk-in, and you may be drawn to the conference and really not even have a clue why. You just know that it's someplace you need to be. That's why we've really worked hard to make it affordable for everybody. We really, you know, make it easy to fly into the area. I mean, there's a free shuttle from the hotel, the Embassy Suites North in Phoenix. And, you know, the soul transformation is truly, to me, a stronger terminology than the walk-in.
Right.
But the walk-in is the way it was termed initially in this on this planet.
Sure. It's the name brand.
So many times we kind of flounder about wondering what the heck am I going to be when I grow up, or what am I here to do? I feel like there's something that I'm here to do, but I don't know what it is. And you know, we are here to serve and we are here to help. And so don't flounder out there on your own. Call somebody. Call John, call me, email, you know, call BJ, somebody. We are here to help and we are here to serve.
Absolutely. So where do they go to find this? Now, I have the link that I can send to anybody who's interested, absolutely, but why don't you go ahead and give the website?
The shortest name for the website is Adironda.com. I have several URLs. Thank you to my marketing person, Joy. And she is a walk-in.
You probably
want to
spell
that.
Yeah,
I should spell that. My marketing person, my business partner, my right arm, left arm, and is a walk-in as well. And she, after working with us a short time, decided to give up her very high-powered, very high-paying marketing vice president position in L.A. and travel with me full-time. And her name is Joy, J-O-E-A-U-X, Roby. And she used to be Stephanie. but my website is Adironda.com. That's Adironda.com. You can also find it at MarilynHarper.com, which is much easier to spell. But Adironda.com, and on the very first of the links, the technical term, the little clicking things that take you to another page, is walk-ins. And on that information is the information and the registration for the conference.
Actually, you might want to recheck that link, because I think it, no matter what you click now, it goes to the registration thing rather than the information.
Oh, thank you so much for that information. I
clicked on it right before the show.
Person right here. She's attending the retreat in Crestone, and we worked on that the day before we left, and she worked on it. Her name is Pix. And she worked on it the day before we left because it was not taking a payment. And so she worked on it, and somehow, obviously, something that she did. So give me 24 hours and then go to Adironda.com.
There you go. Write it down now.
You can certainly go to the website and email me from the website and check out the website if you'd like. And it is beautiful. And thanks to Joy. And email me, and I will be happy to send you the information. My retreat here in Crestone ends tomorrow, and I will be answering all my emails tomorrow on the way home. But look over the website, and I apologize. Thank you so much. You know, technology, it is such an opportunity for growth, isn't it?
Oh, it is. That it is. Someday I'll have a website.
You know, your light is so bright, John, I don't know that you need one.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Well, I know some great people that can help you out with that, but you can't have joy.
Okay, fine.
I guess you'll have to find your own joy.
There we go. There we go. Well, anything else you want to add here? We need to wrap up this portion of the show here. But any last thing that would be your bit of wisdom or fun?
Well, you know, I believe that, you know, the top three questions that I know you get asked, I know we get asked, are, you know, where is my beloved? What is my purpose in life? And where's that big pile of money that's coming my way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe that you are your beloved, that as soon as you love yourself enough and be your authentic self every minute of the day, or discover who that is and then live that truth, that your beloved will show up. I believe that your life purpose is strictly to be in joy. I believe that when you find your joy, when you find your bliss, that the universe will reward you for that. And that's where if big piles of money, if you are in service, the rest will be taken care of. Your destiny is how you live that joy. And then all your needs, wants, desires, everything is taken care of. You have to do the deed. You have to do the work. You have to do the spiritual practice.
And as BJ puts it, show up, look good, and be willing.
That's the truth. We quote her often on that. Show up,
yes,
look good,
do.
And be willing. You know, and that's really the deal. You know, for a person that balked against meditation for many years, I know it may be shocking to you, John, but I now sit in silence twice every day.
Wow.
I know.
Is shocking.
It is. Life changes all the time.
Oh, boy, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
And I think that's the key, is to sit in silence and listen.
Yeah.
And be willing to listen to what you hear and accept
Absolutely.
It.
And then take action.
And then take, yes. Yes, as Adaranda always says, you know, divine order is always in place. But it works a lot better when you get off the sofa and open the front door. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so very much for joining us. I'm going to do a brief commercial announcement and then a brief channeling. So I don't know if you're going to stick around for that, but I just want to thank you for joining us here today and for all of the light work that you're doing out there. It feels wonderful. So
thank you for having me as your guest. I mean, it's good to get connected with you some more and get connected with you again.
Absolutely. Okay, so the commercial announcement, talking about safety earlier, talking about authenticity just now, on this coming Wednesday, June 15th, it's time for the next Gateway 2011-2012 activation. These are coming once a month in conjunction with the full moon. We also have the eclipse on that day. And this month we're going to be opening for the full moon and the solstice the gateways of safety and of authenticity. So if you feel called to help the shifting on the planet, to help open up more energies for the planet, this might be your event. If you feel called to open up for more safety or to express yourself more authentically, this would serve you very well. I'd love to have you join us. Until midnight tonight, it is still at the early registration price of $22. After midnight, it doubles, and then it goes up to full price of $55 on Wednesday. But just email me. Let me know if you're interested. Again, love to have you join. Now, we will go in for a very, very brief channeling here. Well, you know the drill. It's transformation time. So just allow your own breathing to deepen. And I'll do the toning, and then we'll have our guest, our second guest for the day. Hmm. Hello, dear ones. This is Melchizedek. Come to be with you once more. We have a brief initiation to offer to you at this time. If you are so willing, we are going to open the third eye and the crown chakras for each one a bit more fully, and open as well that which is the root and the chakras and the soles of the feet to help to ground that which is received more fully. So, allow yourself to center in your heart as we bring in the divine light. As we bring in the divine light, allow yourself to breathe deeply and breathe the earth. Breathe as if the earth itself were made of air, and you could breathe it up through your souls, up through the root, and it would come up and fill your body and then be released back out into the earth. And so we bring the light spiraling down, the translucent silver light of Metatron into the crown and down through the crown. And as we do so, opening up the pineal, the pituitary, the hypothalamus, and opening up to come in as well and express out the front and the rear of the third eye. And while this energetic is taking place, while this is shifting within that portion of the physicality, we bring up from the earth the translucent black, the black ray, if you will. It is the energy of receiving all. The black, that which you see as the color black, is actually all color being absorbed. And so this coming up into you is about opening your capacity to receive. And so we bring this energy, translucent, shimmering black, up into the root and into the soles of the feet, awakening, opening those chakras more fully, expanding their capacity to feed you, to support you, to connect you, to bring you into your physicality, to ground you more fully as divine beings expressing physically. And so breathe, continue to breathe that energy up from the earth and allow that to expand. Allow the blackness of the void, of pure potential, of the womb, of the pure receivership to fill you. We will do a bit of toning to seal these energetics. Know that this will unfold and integrate for another 24 hours or so. Less for some, more for others, but know to take care of yourself very well during that time. Know that we walk with you always, dear ones. Know that you are loved. And know that at the essence of who you are love. Namaste. Okay. Well, still there, Mayor?
I am. I wouldn't have missed that for the world.
Well, I want to thank you once more for joining me here today. It has been a pleasure to have you in the energy field here for this. This has been wonderful.
It has been fun.
Yeah. And I want to put a reminder out to everybody out there of the drawing that takes place the last live show of every month. So you send me a topic, you send me some questions that you'd like to hear answered on the show, or you send me a potential guest name, and you'll go into the drawing, and that you can enter once a week with any of that kind of thing, or any feedback whatsoever. So please let me know what you think. Let me know what you got out of the show. And or if there's anything you'd like me to change. But In any case, I am grateful for your presence out there. Couldn't do the show without you. Couldn't create it without you. This is all of our energies creating it. I just, in some ways, I'm acting here as a channel as well for all the energies of this group of listeners coming together to co-create here today. So, well, I'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Hope you'll join me again out there in the truth within. Remember, you never know where this show is going to go. And I wish you all the highest blessings from your own divinity, from God, Goddess. Namaste.
Namaste.